we're going to learn through the Neshech Chochma, the Neshech Chochma was written by your Meir Simcha of Divinz. I think he finished it when he was 17 years old, but didn't publish it till much later. He also was the author of the Or Sameach on the Rambam. And he has a very famous piece, it's in Parshas Bechukosai, that speaks about the purpose of Golus and also Tahalich. The what?
Process.
The process of how it works. And it's very, he was nifter in the early 1930s, I think, or even earlier than that. Therefore, he had no connection to the actual World War II and to the Holocaust. But we'll see that he saw it coming, even before, he died before Hitler's rise to power. But in the middle here, he mentions he has an allusion to it. It says like this, it's going on the pasuk in the Chukotzai, V'av gam zos b'yosam b'eretz oyveihem, lo ma'ashtim, lo ga'altim, lechalosam, lechofer b'risi itam, ki ani Hashem Elokeihem. Torah says that even when Klal Yisrael are in Golus, they're in the land of their enemy, I don't hate them, I'm not disgusted with them, I'm not interested in destroying them in order to abrogate my covenant with them, because I'm still their God. Ha'inyanhu, he says like this, the idea behind this is the following. Shenisbonen tzas bedarkei ha'ashkacha ha'elyona, tzas mashiyucha lahavim, if we contemplate the ways of divine providence as much as we can understand, the little that we can understand. Ki kasher gazra ha'chokhmo ha'elyona, asher Yisrael nisnodedu ba'arsos, shonim rabi mod mod, when God's wisdom decreed that the Jewish people have to wander in foreign lands for many, many years, in the Golus that we are in for almost 2,000 years. Ad zman asher chokeko ha-matoro elokis asher liba lepume logalia, until the time will come that the God deems enough necessary, which God never revealed, something that is hidden from everyone. Choshva ufanim v'tachbulos asher Yisrael yiskaimu v'goy. On the one hand, God has reasons, positive reasons, why he wants Klal Yisrael to be in Golus. There are things that we need to accomplish, and things that correct various things by being in Golus. But there's always the danger that we'll assimilate and disappear as a nation. Lasos bezek during the siyogi, asher ha'uma tiskayim b'sha'on galei hayam, v'lo titbo b'netzulos hasar ashotei b'ruach ha'mitz v'kabir. And the Rabbanu Shel Olam awakened, inspired the leaders of the people from time to time to make various enactments that will protect the Jewish people from assimilating. See from here that even though there are rabbinic prohibitions, that those rabbinic prohibitions are many times inspired by God. He wants the rabbis to make this because of the needs, of the special needs of the time. These things would not have been necessary had we not been in Golus. Had we made the right choices and remained in Eretz Yisrael, we didn't have to go into Golus, then these enactments wouldn't have been necessary. But now that we're in Golus, they're necessary. So the Ribono Shel Olam functions by inspiring the leaders of the generation to make these takonos. In another place, he says something interesting. He says that the Gemara says in Menachos that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Rabbi Akiva giving a shir, and he didn't understand what he was saying. Until at the end of the shir, he said, "It's halacha l'Moshe Misinai," and then he felt better. So the Meshech Chachma, another place, explains why did Moshe Rabbeinu know what Rabbi Akiva was saying. He says because Rabbi Akiva was at that time darshaning a lot of the halachas that they learned from hints in the Torah. Not that it was Torah halachas. They were learning them like from the crowns of the Torah, meaning this kind of inspiration. Halachas that were necessary in Golos. Halachas of separating the Jewish people from the Goyim in a way that was only necessary after we went into Golos. Now, had Moshe Rabbeinu understood what Rabbi Akiva was darshaning, then that would have made it, would have interfered with the free choice of the Jewish people whether they could go into Golos or not. Because what God knows doesn't interfere in free choice, as we've explained many times. But what people know, what already is handed down into this world, is a different story. So had Moshe Rabbeinu known what Rabbi Akiva was darshaning, it would have affected the Jewish people's free choice. So he couldn't know. That's what he says. So he says over here, the Ribbono Shel Olam inspires the leaders to make various enactments that are necessary, each generation different. What's necessary to keep the Jewish people from assimilating. The Hinei HaRishon HaMore Derech U'Malamed Roshei HaUma. The first instance of this, before the Torah was given, the first Jewish leader who took this into consideration, who was in a situation of Golos and had to make certain enactments that were not Torah law, but were things that would prevent assimilation, Hu Avinu Azok in Yaakov. That was Yaakov Avinu. Asher Ros Asher Yikro Son of Achris Hayomim. He saw already what would be towards the end of days, the fact that we'd have to be in Golos, and then again in Golos, and again in Golos. Choshav Asher Nia Shivim Ish Begoy Chazok V'Amitz K'Mitzrayim Milfanim. If there will be 70 people, a family of 70, among such a strong and courageous nation like Egypt used to be, Halo Yisbolu, they would assimilate. These Batlu, Echad Birvavos Rabava, they would be battle. They would be negated in 100,000 times of what they were, right? If not more than that. So Choshev Tachbula the Eitza. So Yaakov Avinu thought of a plan, of ideas, how to prevent that. Asher Bonav Yumitsuyonim Shom. So one of the things he enacted for his children was that they should be distinguishable by their clothing. They would wear clothing that was different than everybody else. Bishmoseihem. They would use names that were different than Egyptian names. V'lachein hoyu Yisrael l'goy b'fnei atzmo. In that way they would remain a separate, distinguishable nation. V'im hoyu Yaakov avikol shiftei Yisrael kovur shom. He also saw that if he would be buried in Egypt, then they'd have no connection anymore to Eretz Yisrael. And they would give up hope of ever going back. They would become totally anchored in Mitzrayim and consider that their homeland. And then everything that God had intended for them would be negated. Because then what would happen would be that the Jewish people would become just another faction in Egypt. The Yodun Shiva Bechal Os Likbar Oso Beretz Kanat. Therefore he came up with the idea that his remains should be taken out of Eretz Mitzrayim and buried in Eretz Israel. and the people would realize that their roots and that the founders of the nation aren't buried in Mitzrayim. That's not their place. That they're buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ubezem nikba b'nefesh bonav kishur tivi v'shtoke kel eretz avoseyem v'lachcho v'atzmon kegerim. In this way there would be a natural desire to return to Eretz Yisrael because they would realize that that is their roots. And that way they would consider themselves only temporary residents in Mitzrayim and not actual citizens. Two things. First of all, Moshe Feinstein has an interesting idea. He says that that Yaakov Avinu made it that the Jews shouldn't change their dress. They should dress distinguished from the Goyim. They shouldn't change their names. They shouldn't change their language. He doesn't mention that. Right? In order to remain separate was extremely necessary by even Yaakov Avinu's time. Because they had nothing else to distinguish them from the Goyim. They didn't have a Torah yet. So these are the things that made them stand out as a separate nation. But once the Torah was given, and Jews have a lot of other things that make us stand out as a separate nation, then it's not that important anymore that we don't use non-Jewish names or not dress similar to the way non-Jews do, as long as you're not doing it to assimilate. You're doing it just for convenience or whatever. He says it's not a nice thing. It's not a proper thing. But it's not the same serious thing that the Jews were redeemed from Egypt. Because of these things, it's not the same seriousness after the Torah was given. After the Torah was given, these things aren't the Iker. There are many other things that distinguish us. The Iker, that we have a Torah. But before the Torah was given, then these things were, Yaakov Avinu said, if not for these things, there's nothing that distinguishes us from the nations of the world. Perush, v'malamid l'toros b'chol golos v'golos hanhoga, and this way Yaakov Avinu instructed that in every golos should be similar. Sheyedu shelo yordu l'shtakeya, that we should know that whatever nation we're amongst, whatever land we're living in, we're not there permanently. We're only there temporarily to dwell there till Mashiach will come. They should not consider themselves citizens of that country. That's why Yosef also said, eventually take my body out of Egypt. And the same thing with all the other tribes. Even though they weren't able to actually take them out and bury them in Eretz Yisrael after they died, but by telling their children that eventually we want to be taken out of here, they rooted in their hearts the understanding that this isn't our place. Eventually, we're going to leave here. Eventually, we're going back to where we belong. And we're only here temporarily. And therefore, the burial is only a temporary burial in this land. That's why it says by Mitzrayim that they were like thorns in the eyes of the Egyptians. The Egyptians considered the Jews like thorns. And he explains it the following way. Just like a thorn can't be grafted and doesn't take root together with other plants. It's a totally separate plant. Kein hayu nechshavim Yisrael. So too the Jewish people also were considered like a separate thing from the Egyptians. Shlo dimu asatzmon Mitzrayim. They didn't make themselves like the Egyptians. V'hayu nifrodim b'tchunoseyem. And they remained separate, both in their characteristics and their emotions. They were a separate people. They didn't think like the Egyptians. They didn't act like the Egyptians. They didn't feel like the Egyptians. So the Egyptians looked at them like thorns. They're not part of us. They're some separate kind of thing. ומזה למדו גדולי האומה ובראשם עזרא ואנשי כנסת גדולה when they were in the second Gaulish Babel, right, after Gaulish Mitzrayim. So the leaders of the generation at that time, Ezra and the Anshei Knesset Gdola, Shigadru v'sigu ha'umma b'yid chesdavad. They made other takonis that reminded the Jewish people that if they're outside of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Ha'amin, it's tummy. This is not where you're supposed to be. This is not, this is a negative kind of thing. V'yibadol min ha'goyim b'chol t'archeyim. Amongst the 18 things that the Rabbanim made, special takanos, were things that they weren't allowed to eat, what's it called, a drink, Goyish wine, or things baked by Goyim or whatever. These were all part of the Gzeros to separate them from the nations of the world. They should know that they are only guests in a strange land temporarily. And the Jews are compared to an olive tree that can't be grafted with other trees. You don't graft olives with other trees. The other Midrashim say that we are compared to oil and the nations of the world are compared to water. It's physically impossible for water and oil to ever mix. And that's why we are an Am Levavad Yishkor, in order that we should be able, even in Golos, maintain our identity, our individuality, and our mission in the world. The Rabban Hashem made it that we can't mix with the Goyim. So the ideal of that, and that's what he mentioned before, that that's the purpose of Eretz Yisrael, right? That we should remember that our place is Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael is our kliyus. In fact, one of the Mepharshim says the halacha is that the halacha of bittul, that something could be bottled, something could be negated. What's a good word for bittul? Could be nullified. Nullified amongst something else is only if it's not kavua, if it doesn't have a set place. But something where the suffix is where the thing is a set place. It's not bottle. The fact that we have a set place, Eretz Yisrael, whether they were there or not, but that's the place we're going to go back to. So the Gemara says in the Dorin that even if the person's not in their set place, but they are going to go back to their set place, Hodra Veduktayo, that's also called Kavur. So just having a place that we know, that's where we're permanent. That's where we're settled. And nowhere else are we settled. Keeps the Jewish people from being nullified amongst the nations of the world. In addition, so that is the Am Levavad Yishkor. We see here already a connection between not assimilating and having that desire to return to Eretz Yisrael. We mentioned that these are two causes that were mentioned for the Holocaust, the assimilation and the not taking the advantage of going to Eretz Yisrael when the opportunity presented itself. You can see already from him that there's a connection between them. They're not separate things. But that's for later, not tonight. In any case, but this concept of oil and water, what's it called? If you try to mix the oil into the water, temporarily you can have the oil globules in the middle of the water. Jews can assimilate temporarily, but eventually the oil rises to the surface. And Rabbi Chaim Voloshiner says that we have one of two choices. We either can make Kiddush, or the Goy will make Havdalah. Either we sanctify ourselves, and we separate ourselves from the nations of the world, then that's fine. Then we can coexist very nicely with them. But if we don't, and we try to assimilate, then the end result will be that the Goy will make Havdalah. He'll separate us. And that's exactly the marshal with the water and the oil. Because what pushes the oil to the surface? The pressure of the water. It's the water that forces the oil to the surface. If we exist, we float on top of the water. In order for the oil to float, there has to be a separation of surface tension between the water and the oil. They're not amalgamated. They're not mixed. They're separate. Then we can coexist with the nations of the world. When we try to assimilate, then there's a safety valve. And the Goyim push us out. They don't want us. That's a safety valve of separation. And the Medrash says the same idea in a different way. The Medrash says we really have no choice. We are an Am Levodat Yishko. We're a nation that dwells apart. Not isolated from the world, but insulated. Either we live in Eretz Israel, insulated, we have connection to the world. We have to influence the world. So we're not isolated, but we're insulated. It's a one-way street. We influence, but we have our own society. We have our own Eretz HaKodesh. We have our own standards, values, way of life. So we are not influenced, but we influence. So we're insulated. So we have two possibilities. If we accept that situation willingly, then the Pasuk says, Vayishkon Yisrael betach badot. The Jewish people dwell in security, insulated, separated from the world. And we read that Pasuk on Simchas Torah. It's the last parsha in the Torah, Vazos HaBaracha. That's what that Pasuk is. The Pasuk is read on Simchas Torah. If, on the other hand, we choose not to do that willingly, and we try to assimilate, then it's not going to help. We're still going to be badot. We're still going to be separate. But then we're going to read a different pasuk. Eicha yashva badot. That we read on Tisha B'Av on the floor. The badot didn't change. Either way, we're going to be separated, insulated from the world. Either willingly in a simcha, or not willingly and forced by the nations of the world. That's the same idea of the Kiddush and the Haftalah. So in any case, so that's it. So we are like coaxing. In the eyes of the Goyim, we're like thorns. We just don't mix with them. And that's why the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made all of these gzeros. The Lachein Amru B'Yerushalmi. Shafilu Eliyahu. Eino Yoruch Levat. That's why the Yerushalmi says that even if Eliyahu Navi would come and say that these 18 things which the rabbis enacted to keep us separate from the Goyim no longer apply, we wouldn't listen to him. Why? Perush. Because man shalo bo ha-goyim, the yitzek shibud malchios. As long as the geula didn't come, and shibud malchios is not finished, and we still need to have these enactments to keep us separate. We don't have Eretz Yisrael where we are contained, all of us together in Eretz Yisrael to keep us separate. Then we need these kinds of halachas to keep us separate. When Mashiach will come, it could be that book that the Mashiach in his Beis Din will say there's no necessity. These were made in order to keep Jews separate from the nations of the world, and in Eretz Yisrael, there's Mana Mashiach, that won't be necessary. We'll have other things that will keep us separate. But until Mashiach comes and our subjugation to the nations of the world is finished, then we still need these halachas. And even if Eliyahu comes and says, don't worry, Mashiach is coming within the next few days, so we don't need them anymore. No. Until Mashiach actually comes, you're going to need these halachas. Shehein hein advorim b'kaim en luma b'golik. These are the things and the kinds of things that keep us intact in Golis. U'maskirin also shehu Yisrael b'beretz lalo. It reminds us that we are a different nation. We're Klal Yisrael, we have a different standard, we have a different mission, and we have a different land. This is not where we belong. That's what all these halachas are supposed to remind us. The Hinei, so that is the general purpose of Golus, aside from all the other mysterious reasons and punishments or whatever, but the all these enactments and all these things that keep us separate, even though we're in Golus. Vihine, me'eis heyos Yisroel b'goyim, birvos ha'shonim, asher lo heminu kol yosh ve'sebo, ki yiskaimu b'ofen niflo, asher lo yishoer machsheves ha'maskil, hayodea koros hayomim, v'ametzulos asher shotvo b'hal fe'shonim, al ama ma'ar, v'cherpo koach t'chodol onim, says that as we were in Golis for so long, right, which is something that no one could believe, that a nation, such a small nation, could remain still intact and not have assimilated totally amongst the nations of the world or been totally destroyed. This is one of the biggest proofs that the Jewish people have a tremendously holy and great mission, which the prophets prophesied for us. Because if we didn't have such a divine great mission, we would have been lost. It's a miracle that we're still around. In fact, the Ramban says that one of the biggest miracles and proof that there's a God and that God is Mashgiach in the world is the existence of the Jewish people, that we're still around. That is the biggest raya that there's a Rabbanu Shlom. And in fact, that is one of the reasons why we're in Golos. We're supposed to be an Or La'am. We're supposed to be a light to the nations of the world. We're supposed to represent God to them. We're supposed to give them an understanding that there's a God. And the truth is that we've been pretty successful in that, not exactly the way it's supposed to be, but somewhat. I mean, we influenced Christianity and Islam, and both of them believe in God, basically. Just that Christianity adds some other gods, but they believe basically in one God, right, a master God, unlike idolatry. They're not idolaters, per se. They may be over Avodah Zarah in its pure form, halakhically. But like the Ramban says, they are definitely an improvement over real idolatry. And Islam is not idolatry at all. Sure, an improvement. So, and we influenced, they both came from us. So we've influenced most of the world. Because most of the world are either Muslims or Christians. There are a lot of Hindus out there, but Lamaisa, we have made an impact on most of the world. And so we can either achieve this from Eretz Yisrael, like a lighthouse, by building a society in Eretz Yisrael that is Kulo Torah, and that has a tremendous influence on people who come and visit here, people, what they hear about Eretz Yisrael, right? So it reminds them there's a God, and there's a people living a godly existence, okay? Today we fulfill that through Israeli politics. Because when the Goyim hear about Israeli politics, they say, oh my God. So, I don't know if it's exactly what the Rabbanu Shlom had in mind, but that's not exactly what the plan was. Or there's another way of reminding the nations of the world that there's a God, the fact that we live amongst them, and they know how much they try to get rid of us. They know even more than we know, because we don't find out all their plans. We think some of them are our friends, and behind the scenes, they're our worst enemies. Franklin Delano Roosevelt was an example of that. Jews in America thought that he was Mashiach. Right? They called him Rosenfeld. Right? They considered him, an honorary Jew. Right? He was a good friend of the Jews. And it's only after he died, and they released a lot of the State Department papers, and that we saw that he was Mamash Shonei Yisrael, that he worked against Yidden privately, secretly. Whatever he had to do to get Jewish votes, he did publicly. Everything else behind the scenes, he was a Shonei Yisrael. So we don't know. That's why the Brisker Rav says, Haluas Hashem Kol Goyim, all the nations should praise God, Ki Gavar Aleinu Chasdo, because his kindness is overpowering for us. So Brisker Rav asks, why should the Goyim praise God? Because he had chesed for us. We should praise him. He said, because we don't even realize sometimes the tremendous kindnesses that Hashem does for us in thwarting the plans of Goyim. They know. They know what they were planning. Sometimes it never comes out. It never gets revealed. And they're thwarted before it ever came out. So they know better than us what kind of nisim and chesed happens to the Jewish people. But just the fact that we survive is the biggest proof that, what's it called, that there's a Rabbanu Shalom. So sometimes we teach the world the presence of God by our being able to exist. And that's what the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah discovered. It says that Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu, I think, came, and they took away Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, the Hanora. They said, Jews are in Galus, where's God's strength? Where do you see God as being awesome? And the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came, and they said, no. The fact that the Jewish people can survive among 70 wolves, the fact that what's it called, that the Rabbanu Shel Olam protects us, he's still there, is the greatest Gevurah. That's his strength. That's his awesomeness. So it can come in two ways. It can come in a very positive way, or it can come through negative. But either way, that's how we fulfill our purpose. In a derech ha-hashgacha, ki-anuchu meshech shonim. Now he goes to the process. So what happens in Galus? So again, Galus is a means for us to correct a lot of the things that we couldn't correct in Eretz Israel. It's a punishment. It's a host of things. The main thing is that somehow we are preserved in Galus and are able to exist and survive it so we can get back to Eretz Israel. Now how does it work? How does the process work? It says, Derech HaHashgacha. So the way that it works, there's always that divine providence pushing from above. Ki anuchu meshech shanim, karov lemeya omosayim. Usually Jews are 100, 200 years in a place. The achar zeh yokum ruach sa'ara, the yofu tamon galav, the kola yivol yivula, yaros, yishtov lo yachmo. And then there's a turmoil and a storm, and Jews are uprooted from the place that they were for 100 or 200 years and have to go to a new place. Akin exorim bitudin yarutsu yivruchu lamokam rachov v'shom yisachtu. This is the way Jewish history has been. They've settled in a place, been there for 100, 200 years, some places even more, and then all of a sudden something happens and they are uprooted and thrown to a new place far away. And then they get to that new place and they begin to settle in.
What's the primary next in history?
Such a suit, he says. Yugdal, Torosom, Chochmosom, Yasu, Chayil. And then when they get to the new place, they settle in and they start to flourish. And the Torah flourishes. Chochmosom, Yasu, Chayil. They're able to set up yeshivas, and they learn. Until the same thing happens. They begin to forget that they are gerim in a foreign land. They feel very comfortable. They feel established. This is great, right? We're able to learn Torah. We're able to create a community, and we feel very comfortable amongst the nations that we live. Yachshov ki zem mokom machzavto. They forget to look forward to a salvation of being taken back to Eretz Israel. They don't think they don't need it. They think that where they are is just fine. What happens then again? Another storm comes, uproots them from that place. The storm, the war, whatever it may be, right, reminds them that they're Yidden, and that, like we said, like the Goyim, remind us that we don't belong there. Lech lechol eretz ha-shaliyot. Now, they go to another land, and there you'll know that you're a ger. You'll know you don't belong. Koch ha-yachliv matzav Yisrael v'kiyum ha-bamim. This is the constant history of the Jewish people for the last 2,000 years. In places, right, even in America, first of all, we've only been in America about 200 years. I mean, since America itself has been America, a little over 200 years is no big deal. Beyond that, even in America, Jews are thrown from one neighborhood to another. Whenever they get accomplished in a neighborhood, right, that neighborhood, for whatever reason, dies out, Goyim move in, they feel not comfortable anymore, and they move out to the suburbs. And then the goyim move out there, and then the neighbor have go to any large city where Jews have been for tens of years in America, and you go down to the Schwarzer neighborhood, and you'll find shuls that are churches with mezuzahs, with Jewish stars on them. What is it? They tell a joke that a shul was designing their new shul. And the rabbi got a call from the pastor of a nearby church. And he said, I would like to be on the committee to design your shul. Why? He said, because the first shul you had in the first neighborhood you had it when you came here, right, eventually became ours. He said, then when you moved out of that next neighborhood and you abandoned or sold your second shul, you sold it to us. So I'd like to say in the design of the third shul, because eventually it's going to be ours, and we'd like to have it built in a way that we like it also. But that's the metzius. Even in countries where Jews remain and are comfortable, right, still they move from neighborhood to neighborhood. Kacha yachlif matzav ha-Yisraeli dekiyumo ba'amid. Kasher ein ha-mask v'yir b'sifer divayom. Look through history, you'll see this has been the history of the Jewish people. The Zilish Nesibos. And this is for two reasons. Nekim hadas amiti v'toro. So, l'kiyum ha'um. One, to preserve Yiddishkeit, and the second, to preserve us as a nation. Two separate things. Ki kasher yanuach Yisrael ba'amin, yafriach v'yigdal t'rosu b'pula. Because the truth is, when we have a time of respite, when we are at peace, and we have a conducive environment, then taki Yiddishkeit flourishes, like in America. Right? Yiddishkeit is strong, and we're able to do what we want to do. And we have, you know, siyum daf yomi, and we have all the other things, and that's very good. Very chizuk of Yiddishkeit happens. Ubon of Yasu Chaya, we have a lot of yeshivas, and a lot of people learning Torah. Yisgadru neged avoseihem, even surpass their fathers and grandfathers. Ki kacha chepet to'avam. Asher ha'achron yechadesh yosif ometz mashir nela midor ayosha. Because this is the normal desire of people to improve their lot, to be better than what came before, to improve the lot over the previous generation. The zubachach musanoshis. And in secular wisdom, this is the way it is. Every generation improves on what the generation before. I think the Chavetz Chaim says that's what it means. Dor l'dor, yishabach ma'asech, or maybe some malbin. Yishabach can mean to praise, but yishabach can mean to improve. Lashbiach. Every generation, yishabach ma'asech, they improve on what you made. When it comes to science, technology, and secular wisdom, every generation adds and improves what the generation did before. It's human nature. And therefore it spills over into Torah. When it comes to technology, to secular wisdom, this is obvious. Every generation improves on the generation before. They want to make their mark in the world. And we see from experience that the later generation is in certain areas better, more advanced than the previous generation. But when it comes to religion, that's a dangerous thing. True, people want to improve, they want to make Torah better, and we see that that's how generations go. The first generation in America. So even the people were from, but they had to compromise, even maybe not even knowing they were compromising on various things. Right? They didn't have hechsherim. Right? They had to look at the labels of food, and it didn't say anything trade, so they ate it. And then the generation got better, and people were more makbid, and they had hechsherim, and they only think things were a hechsher. Then, the next generation, that wasn't good enough, then they made better hechsher, mahadrin hechsher, or whatever. Not just stam to make sure that it was okay, but it was better than okay. Right? It was extra special. And so on in every area. Every area. One generation was accepted that they weren't makbid on chavos. The next generation decided to makabel that extra hither. And so on. Many, many areas. Tznius, right? What was considered sanua in one generation, people got better, they were able to dress better. Tznius grew, and so on and so on. So on one hand, there is a positive thing of the next generation finding a place to improve, even when it comes to Yiddishkeit, on the generation before. However, there's a negative side. Because Torah is something given from the Rabbanu Shalom, Anitim min HaShemayim, U'mekoro lo al eretz chutzot, it's not similar to secular wisdom, to technology, to science. Ha'alim hoya bo'eretz Yisrael lefnim, ha'lo hoya lohem liskader b'tikun ha'uma kol echad lefidolim. In Eretz Yisrael, there was a chance for every generation to improve on the one before, in a very positive way, to make innovations. Based in HaKadol, they're the Sanhedrin. Ha'yachol HaVakol is different based in HaKadol. They could manage change halachas, not Torah halachas, but rabbinic halachas, or even Torah interpretation. What one Beis Din came out and said, this is the halacha, a greater Beis Din of a later generation could change it. One Sanhedrin could mevatel what a previous Sanhedrin said. In one door, this was the halacha, another door, the halacha was different. So there was change. They felt they were improving. They were able to be yotze, that human need of change and improvement in a very positive way. And he says that which is learned from the Yud Gimel Midos, every Beis Din has the right to darshan from themselves and to change what the Beis Din before. That's why they ask, I mean, Lamaisa, how could Rabbeinu Tam, what's it called, change the tefillin that his grandfather Rashi had? Even though they're makoros, but every generation has the right to go through the halacha from the beginning, right, and come out with their conclusion, even if it contradicts what a generation before did. Lo chein begola, but that's not the way it is in Golos. Shenismayit ha-kibbutz va-asifa b'limud ha-Torah. In Golos, we're not all together. We don't have a Sanhedrin. We don't have that achdus that you can, the whole nation can change something, right, because of the Sanhedrin changing it. We're in pockets here and there, and that becomes very dangerous. If everybody starts changing, then there's not one Torah anymore. There's hundreds of Torahs. Shemitam ze ein reshus l'shum Beis Din l'chadash Torah. In Golos, no Beis Din has the right to change halachas. Kimo shekosav Rambam b'akdamos l'sefer Mishnah Torah. The ein shum chozev enovi. There's no Nevi'im. Mechitza shel barzel mafsekes ben Yisrael avin sheva shemayim. And we're separated from Hashem. We don't have that luxury of having that ability to change, to innovate, to be machadish the way we did in Eretz Yisrael. In Golos, therefore, we're stuck to a certain degree. Because of this, there came a negative kind of change. Again, the younger generation doesn't want to just do what the generation before. They want change. So when there is a possibility of positive change, that's very good. But sometimes for the sake of change, you want negative change. So they come to a certain land, right? They were thrown out of one land, came new to a new land. You ain't them b'nei Torah. When they come into that land, because of all the hardships and poverty, they're not b'nei Torah. They don't have a chance to learn yeshivas. They have to work hard. And the people of that generation are not great b'nei Torah. Nidal kasher nidaldu min atzoros v'gzeiros v'geirush. V'yachar kach yisoro b'em ruach eloki, ha-shoeifam la-shivam l'mekorcho tzvomach tzvavis kotcha. Then there's this tremendous awakening to want to return to their roots and to improve over the matzah the status of the generation that started in that new land. So Yilmadu, Yarbitzu Torah, they begin to learn, they begin to disseminate Torah, Yasu Niflos, Akiyabo Kerenat Torah, Arum HaBasil, until they reach the height of Torah in that land. Right? They're at the heights of Torah. Halo Ein Biyan Hador LaHosit Ma. There's nothing more to add. They've reached it all. Right? They have Mahadrin, Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, right? Siyum Daf Yomi every week, whatever it is, right? There's nothing more to improve.
Is there potential or...
Yeah, but again, people reach a certain level and they don't see it. It's always possible to improve. But sometimes the improvement is so subtle, it's not satisfying because you don't see the difference. So they have nothing to make them to assert their individuality, to assert their individuality. Every generation wants to assert itself, not just be a carbon copy, just be a continuation of what came before. So what does human nature push them to do? Then in order to change, they start to be critical of what the previous generation gave them. They come up with new ideas, new philosophies. That's the whole idea of the generation gap. People rebel against the generation from before. And that's the way it works. The from generation to the next generation rebels and they're free and they don't want to do. And the next generation, or the people who rebelled, grow up rebelling against them, going back to Yiddishkeit. It's a constant process. Until it comes to the extreme where they turn their back on what the previous generation gave them to inherit, in other words, Yiddishkeit, and they start following other isms and other philosophies and other ideas, and they forget who they are, and they're more goyish than the goy. And they want to become good citizens in the country where they are and go after all the Avodah Zarahs and all the Narishkeit of that place or that time. They leave learning about the religion. They want to learn foreign languages. They learn from the worst of those nations, not from the best. They usually become the dregs of society, the most negative kinds of philosophies or whatever. Yashov ki Berlin hi Yerushalayim. And they begin to think that Berlin is Yerushalayim. And they don't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. They're very happy to be Germans. And they consider German the fatherland. And this is what the Reform and the Haskalah did in Germany. And you follow the worst of the goyim, the most negative, not the best of them. And then what happens after that? Another storm will come. And uproot it from its root. And that's what he saw coming when the people said, Berlin, Yerushalayim. All these things, all the other languages are only passing apparitions, but our real language is Lashon HaKodesh, Umachzavto Gezi Yisrael, and our roots are Klal Yisrael, B'tanchuma Nichuma Nevi'a Hashem, and what we get, Nichumin, after all these tzores, will be from what the Nevi'im gave us. We'll only have hope that there's a future because we have no past. The tragedy, the Holocaust will be so great it'll destroy our past and we'll only have hope for the future. And then the same thing happens. We'll be poor and uprooted And that generation won't learn, be able to learn Torah. Amuka, learned in depth, and Pilpel, Vishamya Nuachman, and after this Holocaust, will be able to rest a little bit. Yisora Beregish Kodesh, and then we'll settle, and we'll have this desire to return to our roots. Ubanav Yosifu Omas, and the next generation will improve and increase. Ubachurav Yasur Chaya B'Torah Hashem, and they'll begin to learn Torah, and there'll be yeshivas established. Yisgadru L'Pshat L'Fashi Torah B'Zagvul, and they'll spread Torah. Ashikvan Yishkecha, they'll spread Torah to areas where it's been forgotten. Uvizeh Yiskayim V'Yichasik Omas, Kol Derech Yisrael Miyom HaZmishnah. That's the way it's been. Tzoris, followed by a rebirth, followed by a time that we reach a feeling that we've made it, and we're comfortable, and we have nothing to desire to leave, and we're not strangers, and then again comes the same process again. Zeh, that's what it means in the pasuk. Lo ma'astim mi yusual shiflus ha'uma b'torah v'haskola haruchonis ha'mufas mitoraseinu ha'ksuva mesura. The Rav Shem says, I've never felt them disgusting because of their low madrega in Torah as these different periods of history come about. V'loka altim, and I haven't, what's it called, been disgusted with them. V'alkiyu pleitam imakal amakal. It's not that I just want to push them out, but from place to place because I'm disgusted with them, or I'm abominated by them because of their low level. L'kalosam v'alkolos. It's not that I want to destroy them. Shezegil v'kilyan horitz la'uma l'hafer b'risicha. My intention is not to break my covenant. Ho al shikras haTorah, hu al shikras haTorah. Because you would think if they forget the Torah, that God's intention is to make them forget the Torah, and that they should abrogate the covenant. Rak yani Hashem Elokeim. The reason is because I want to remain their God. And without this kind of process, then they'll be lost. The fact that they have to go from place to place, the fact that they have to go through metamorphosis of times of success in Torah and times when Torah is forgotten, is all in order that I should remain their God. It's not to destroy them, it's the opposite. This process is to keep them around. It's just what remains, revives them, and gives them a chance to be reborn in Golos. Sha'al yidei zeh, yiskadol shmo, v'yiskai mukoi zera afroam, zera emunim. This is the way the Kaddish will be able to remain intact till Mashiach comes. Roi v'omid l'kabal ha-matorah l'kis, still ready for their eternal mission. Asher yikra Hashem lono b'achris ha-yomim, b'yosh Yisrael goyechad b'orat. Which we will be able to take upon ourselves when Mashiach comes and will be one nation in Eretz Yisrael. V'hoya Hashem echad u'shmo echad v'yesh lo v'zeh dvarim rabim v'ein komo mekad mokom la'ara. So I have plenty more to speak about this topic, but this is not the place. So that is the famous Meshech Chachma of his understanding of Jewish history, and you can apply this, therefore, to what happened by the Holocaust. People got very comfortable in Germany, and they felt that that was Berlin, Yerushalayim. They didn't, the reform, the Haskalah, right, were, they made a yontif on Tisha B'Av, the reform. They ate, they drank, they had a dance, because that was the day that they were able to assimilate amongst the Jews, amongst the nation. Had Tisha B'Av not happened, they'd been in Eretz Israel, been very hard to assimilate. So they celebrated Tisha B'Av as a yontif, and the only yontif they celebrated for Maisa. And because of that, so the Rabbanu Shalom uprooted them. Nobody saw such a thing coming. They had emancipation since the middle of the 1700s, one country after another, in the 1800s, in most countries in Europe. And Jews were becoming assimilated, and they're becoming natural citizens with all the rights of citizenry. In France, in England, in Germany, for sure. And because of that, right, the Rabban Shum said that it has to end. And they were uprooted from those places and then started again in America, in Eretz Israel, and the process again started. Like Rahman al-Islam, you know, the process is continuing now in America. I'll lie that it doesn't reach the next stage where the next generation, you know, decides that they have to improve in a negative way, but you continue improving in positive ways. And there's Yesh V'Yesh. There are people who are passing the Messiah and people are not passing the Messiah. Unfortunately, the majority of people are not passing the Messiah. But the Rebbe Shem doesn't grade on numbers. He grades on a curve, I assume. And because if we grade on numbers, we are outnumbered by the Chinese. So numbers are not that significant. In any case, so that's the Mashiach Chochma. We still have to go through the Beis Halevi and the Netziv. And after we put them all together, we'll see, Taka, what those Gedolim who said that what we can be inspired from the Holocaust is to fight assimilation, and that doesn't mean just not to go out and intermarry. But there's assimilation, we'll see, that applies to from Jews. And that's what we have to be most concerned about.